Hide your alms in the breast of the poor, and the alms itself will pray to the Lord for you. For just as water quenches fire, so an alms puts out sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We began our mission last week by introducing the wealthy Drexel family of Philadelphia there in the mid-1800s. The family of three girls, Catherine, Katie, Kate, Drexel, she was the middle child. The Drexel banking fortune was a great one, but not an old one. It was Catherine Drexel's German immigrant grandfather, a renowned portrait painter who had tried his hand at banking in the midst of the financial panic of 1837 and had made the family fortune. He trained his own three sons with him in his new business venture. The oldest, Francis Anthony, would become Catherine Drexel's father. He was only 14 at the outset. I mention this because I think it is significant that the Drexels were not an old money family. Their hard work had paid off handsomely in their case, but they knew what it was like not to be rich, and also how precarious a thing earthly riches really are. This was, I think, a help to them because as a family group, they had not yet had time to grow used to being very rich. Also, being very rich is no protection at all against the sorrows of life. Catherine Drexel's mother died only 5 weeks after giving her birth. The only woman she ever knew as her mother was her stepmother, her father's second wife. Her name was Emma Bouvier Drexel. Frank Drexel remarried in April 1860, just a year before the American Civil War began. Catherine's childhood was a radiant springtime, writes one of her biographers. Everything that could have been fitted into a human existence to permeate it with joy and happiness was a constituent part of her earliest days. The Drexel parents were devout practicing Catholics, and they passed that Catholic faith on to their three children. Their expression of Catholicism, however, was admirably free of the disregard and suspicion of the well-ordered enjoyment of the blessings of life, which unfortunately can encumber religious-minded people and trip them up. Not so this family Drexel. Their houses were beautiful and well-appointed. They enjoyed all sorts of nice things. They lavished gifts and good experiences like travel on their daughters. Good education, the fine arts, high culture, these things were very important to them. You might say that this family really knew how to enjoy and celebrate life under God's providence. Theirs was a truly Christian Catholic spirit of kindness, generosity, munificence, and mercy. Mercy. Embedded into their privileged life was the serious practice of performing deeds of mercy, also known as almsgiving. Emma Bouvier Drexel introduced her daughters, Elizabeth, Catherine, and Louise, to the duties of service and assistance of the poor. Three afternoons a week, the doors of her mansion were open to the poor who were in need of help. Mrs. Drexel's almsgiving amounted to some $20,000 a year. Now that's in the value of 19th century American dollars. So $20,000 sounds like a lot to us, and it certainly is, but it would have been worth far much more in terms of actual value and purchasing power in the 1800s. But that's what she was expending in alms, $20,000 a year. And she hired a well-qualified person as her business manager and social worker to help her investigate and follow up with her many cases, people that she was helping. And as the three Drexel girls grew older, they learned how to assist their mother in this work. One of the Catholic spiritual reading books, which we know was a part of the Drexel family's library and acquaintance, because in Catherine's letter she talks about reading it, the book was Father Frederick William Faber's Spiritual Conferences. And in that book, we read the following observations Father Faber makes on Christian almsgiving. Quote, "In nothing is the genuine worth of real spirituality more tried than in the performance of works of mercy. Patience, love, vigilance, inventiveness, wide judgments, a large heart, and an obstinate cheerfulness are all necessary to the persevering success of real works of mercy, together with that humble, bashful earnestness, which is a peculiar feature of Christian compassion." Unquote, Father Faber. Emma Bouvier Drexel fell sick with cancer in 1879. Catherine was in her 21st year. It was a painful, debilitating cancer. Catherine became her mother's special nurse and caregiver during this time. Years later, as a nun, Catherine told her religious sisters that it was at her mother's sickbed that the thought of religious life came to her, constantly and forcibly. Mrs. Drexel died on January the 29th, 1883. Her passing was a newsworthy event. In an editorial for the newspaper, The Public Ledger, dated February the 2nd, 1883, the scenes of her funeral were recounted. "The poor, the sick, the unemployed, the dying were the constant objects of her cheering visits. Few women ever secured so many situations for needy but industrious and worthy persons, men, women, boys and girls. The families she has aided can be numbered by the hundreds, some of them supported entirely by her in time of need. And one of the most touching scenes of her funeral was that the hundreds who passed through her late home for 2 hours yesterday morning for a mournful farewell were largely composed of those to whom she had been a benefactress in every way in which distress can be alleviated or relieved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen."